Today is Tuesday, the 9th of January, 2018, and my name is Adam. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Geeky Gay Show. This is the personal journal podcast of me. My name is Adam, and I may have already said my name is Adam, so if I said that already, I apologize. But anyway, I am tired for some reason for the past couple of days, so who knows? So anyway, so today we're going to just talk about my life a little bit. And, you know, some stuff that's going on at work. And we also have another contact email. And again, if you guys want to contact me, the best way to do so is to email adamburns.uk@gmail.com. And I'm actually going to go over to Gmail right now. And this email is from Steve. And he says, "Hey, Adam, I meant to write you forever ago when you asked about hypnotism, but something, oh, shiny, pretty, passed by, and that was the end of that. My apologies." That's perfectly fine, Steve. No problem. So he says, "I used hypnotism to quit smoking in 2005 and then again in 2011 for weight loss. I had good results both times. I think different people have different results, and a lot depends on the hypnotherapist. You can't be made to do anything you don't want to do, and likely will never be completely unconscious, but simply deeply relaxed. You should expect a few in-person sessions followed by some recorded hypnosis sessions to use for, quote, reinforcement. The thing to understand is that it isn't a magic bullet. You won't wake up to magically love working out and hating fast food. Instead, you will become conscious of the things you're saying to yourself subconsciously and give yourself thoughts to counter the subconscious negatives. It's kind of cool when you just, quote, hear thoughts that used to be subconscious. I would hear my thoughts tell me to fill the plate whenever I served myself. It's no wonder I weighed more than I should. By understanding what you're thinking subconsciously, you can then be proactive in changing the narrative. For me, I was the target audience for deals at fast food joints. Buy one, get one free? What a deal. My subconscious was always worried that there won't be enough, meaning I would order more than I needed, and then my hatred of wasting food would take over, so I'd eat it all." You know, Mark is really, well, I want to say bad about that, but it's actually probably a really good thing. But Mark, being raised in the Philippines, he does not want to waste any food. And so when we go out to eat and, you know, we order something and maybe the serving size is too large or, you know, something like that, he always eats the whole thing. If I fix him a plate when I'm cooking and, you know, I give him too much, he's going to eat it no matter what. And I even tell him we can put the leftovers in the refrigerator, we can do all this kind of stuff, but he always wants to eat the entire thing. So I completely understand. Although I'm a typical American, so I have no problem with wasting food, but I completely understand that because he doesn't want to waste food. And then Steve goes on to say, blah, 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 hatred of wasting food. "So my counter thought is more isn't better. The real value is honoring yourself and eating appropriately. And truly, the second thought now follows the first immediately. As for what I eat, when I see fast food, the thought boxed, bagged, dried, dehydrated, processed, fake food is now the immediate thought. But salads, which I've always loved, make me think cool, crisp, natural. Soda? Now I hear myself think about the chemicals, but water is cool, life-sustaining water. I almost never drink sodas anymore. For smoking, I used to tell myself that you can have just one, so my therapist worked in the phrase, no, not even one. Food is harder than smoking because you have to eat, but when I see the bright signs on the side of the road, I don't feel the compulsive need to stop. I hear my thoughts tell me there is plenty of food. And when I decide to splurge, if I decide that I really want that boxed, bagged, dried, dehydrated food, I can still enjoy the greasy, cheesy goodness of a double meat, double cheese Whataburger without guilt. Now it is a splurge, not a Tuesday." Oh, it's definitely a Tuesday for me. "Yes, We have Whataburger all over New Mexico. We also have Blake's Lotta Burger, which is a more local version that is a must try if you ever visit. You know, funny enough, I don't remember where I was, but I was driving somewhere, and this was when we still didn't have Whataburger here. And so I don't know, I passed by this place, and it was called Watson Burger, W-A-T-S-O-N Burger. And I guess in my delirium from being tired and hungry and whatever else, I was on a trip somewhere by myself. I thought, oh my gosh, there's a Whataburger. And I pulled over and I was already pulled up into the drive thru looking at the menu, like in line with a car behind me by the time I realized it was not Whataburger. And so I think I went ahead and ordered something, but it was not the same at all. And it wasn't better. It was worse. So anyway, I'll have to try that when I'm in New Mexico. So he says, anyway, I hope you consider hypnosis as it's an interesting experience, even if it's not magic. Because I started with smoking, the cost was quickly matched by the savings. It seems like it was $200 or $300, which amounted to about a month of cigarettes. And then he says, I listened to the original Dubious Intent forever ago, and like you, loved the laconic Boy Scout. I missed it terribly when it ended. I don't remember how I stumbled onto the new version, but am years behind the curve. I know from listening to the Geeky Gay Show that Daniel has stopped altogether, but I don't know why or what happened. Would you fill me in? So, yeah, Steve, so basically, and for any of you who listen to Geeky Gay but may not listen to Dubious Intent, Daniel and I, we started podcasting around the same time. I originally had the Adam and Maddie Show with my former partner. And I started around, gosh, I don't even remember what the year was, but I want to say it was 04 or 05 that I started podcast. No, that wouldn't be right. Let's see. It must have been 06 or something like that. 06 or 07 when I started podcasting. But anyway, I wanted a co-host, so I convinced my partner at the time, or my boyfriend at the time, Maddie, to do it with me. So we did probably about 100 episodes together, but I don't know, maybe 6 months to a year after we started communicating with Daniel, and I would call in and leave a voicemail on the original Dubious Intent. He would call in and leave voicemails on the Adam and Maddie Show, and then Daniel and I became good friends, and we actually started Pride 48 together, which is still in existence, which is a live streaming website where we, you know, some of the gay and lesbian, bisexual and friendly podcast are able to for free go over and live stream their shows. And so Daniel and I were just having some conversation one night, and both of us had been doing live streaming with our podcast. He had been doing it with Dubious Intent, and I had been doing it with the Adam and Maddie Show. And so we decided to start Pride 48, and you know, Pride 48 has grown, and now we have events and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But when I broke up with Maddie and I moved, I no longer had a podcast at that time. I don't think I was doing Geeky Gay at that time, and I didn't have a co-host, so I wasn't doing anything. And Daniel had ended Dubious Intent because I think Anne and Alden just both got too busy and they couldn't do it with him. And so he and I were talking at some point and just decide. And I said, you know, I really would like to, you know, continue podcasting, but I don't want to do a show without a co-host. And so he said, you know, hey, well, why don't we do a show together? And then I said, well, I wouldn't know what to call it. I'm not very creative. My last show was the Adam and Maddie Show. And he said, well, why don't we just start back Dubious Intent and you'll be my co-host and yada, yada. So that's what we did. So, anyway, we started the second iteration of Dubious Intent in, I want to say 2011, possibly. And we did a couple of hundred episodes together. I think we may have even done more episodes, the two of us, than the original Dubious Intent. But anyway, so he just, you know, he was going through a lot of things in his life, and I won't go into, you know, a lot of details, but he was going through stuff career-wise, family-wise, relationship-wise, and he just decided that he wanted to stop podcasting. And so it was nothing to do with Dubious Intent. He had ended all of his other podcasts already. Dubious Intent was the last one, And he had stopped doing RuPaul's Drag Race recap. And so he just decided that he wanted to focus on some other things. His new relationship. He has a new boyfriend now. He moved, and now he's going to be moving for the second time. And he just wanted, you know, he just wanted to focus on some other things in his life. So, you know, it was amicable. He just decided he didn't want to do it anymore. And, you know, who knows? Someday he may decide, oh, I want to start a podcast again. But for now, he's just living his life, and, you know, and that's fine. And so I continued on with Geeky Gay, and I'm in the process of trying to decide what's going to happen with whether I'm going to, you know, just get a new co-host for Dubious Intent or, you know, create something completely new, because I would like to do a co-hosted show. So that's kind of, you know, what happened there. And for all of you, any of the listeners who weren't aware of all of that stuff, you know, that's, there you go. That'll catch you up on my podcasting life. But, just to let everyone know also, if you don't listen to any other Pride 48 podcasts and you're not kind of in the loop, we are doing an event this year in 2018 for Pride 48. It's been a couple of years, and we're going to do another live Pride 48 event in person. And that used to be in Vegas, and it may be in Vegas again at some point. But we did a survey, and we listened to everyone, and the consensus was people wanted to try a different location. So we are actually doing Pride 48 this year, August 24th through the 26th, and it's going to be in Las Vegas. So it will be a live streaming event. We will have a host hotel, and we will do it in Vegas. And that's the weekend before Southern Decadence, which is like the gay Mardi Gras. So if any of you are interested in going down, you can, you know, there's not a lot of information right now on the website because this is the initial, you know, planning phases, or the initial planning phase, but you can go over to pride48.com, find more information, and you can subscribe to the Pride 48 network shows. And anytime we have a, what we call a state of the station, you can listen to that and get updates. But if I highly recommend a lot of your, you know, if you're a listener who listens to a lot of different Pride 48 shows, a lot of the various Pride 48 celebrities will be there. Big Fatty will be there, Joey from Cocktails and Cream Puffs, and, you know, several others. Pot is My Co-Pilot will be there. So Taylor and Taffy, and who knows, they may even convince Rodan to come, because it's a little bit closer for him and they have family in Louisiana. So anyway, so there's that. And then he says, thanks for all of the hundreds of shows, both Geeky Gay and Dubious Intent. I've enjoyed them. You have helped me pass many an hour of work and commute. I wish I had been listening in time to have gone to one of the Vegas Pride 48 gatherings. Respectfully, Steve. So, Steve, there you go. If you want to meet myself or, you know, many of the other Pride 48 podcasters, think about coming to Vegas in August. So, so the other thing I wanted to talk about is I just wanted to talk a little bit about my work situation. And I know this is probably a boring topic because, you know, talking about, I don't know, corporate culture or what's going on, but you know, this is really what's going on in my life right now and what's been kind of stressing me out. At work, we had a quality assurance department, and we've been, you know, I don't want to get too in the weeds about all the technical stuff because I, you know, some of my listeners or a lot of my listeners may not be technical and be familiar with like the software development process and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But basically, I'll say we've been going through a lot of changes in the organization where all of the different departments, QA, you know, your support departments, any people that deal with hardware, like the actual computers and, you know, the servers and things like that, and, you know, the various other departments, the project managers who would manage various projects, they're all getting, instead of being in pillars is what you would call them, so in teams, you know, they're actually being put under the managers that are managing a specific application that they're developing. So so what happened with QA is there's, you know, basically all the QA department was dissolved, and there were, you know, all of the QA folks were basically, they're in the process of moving them all of under the managers that are managing whatever application they were doing quality assurance for. And I'm at a level where I wasn't supporting one specific application. I was more of an architect, or, my role went across, many, many different applications. And my team, so that they could keep us together, we were moved under one particular area. But we were trying to do, we really had a strategy to try to do what we call software testing enablement and consulting and things like that across the entire organization. But the structure wasn't set up to be conducive to that. There are two other teams that are doing, not one other team that's doing something specific to testing that's very similar to my team. And then there's another team that's called software delivery enablement that's building a lot of the development tools and stuff like that. And I always thought all of the quality folks who are more expert architect type people, if you weren't working on it on one specific application, quality of one specific application, that we should all be moved to that software delivery enablement. But that's not what happened. But I know what's going to happen is all of the quality stuff is going to eventually move into that software delivery enablement. And so I feel like a lot of what I'm working on right now is futile. And we're trying to reach out to these other two groups and, really collaborate with them. But you feel more like you're competing with them because it's like, oh, we're working on something that they're also working on. Are we going to get people to buy into what we're doing? Or are they going to buy into this other group? Who's going to win? What group is going to win? And, there's all this worry out there that the losing team or the losing group is, we're just all going to lose our jobs, basically. And so I haven't really been enjoying going into work because there's been all this competition going on. We're trying to reach out and do the collaboration, but, the writing's on the wall. And because the quality organization dissolved, a lot of the managers and stuff that I've worked with, that I have relationships with, that know my abilities, that, know what I'm able to do. And, Mark always referred to me as the golden boy of QA. Well, now there are no QA managers really left, that I can rely on. Like, if my group was dissolved, I could just go to them and say, hey, do you need an extra, automation person on your team or whatever? And so, they brought in a new director for this software delivery enablement team. And he's going to focus a lot on test automation, infrastructure, tools, performance engineering, all of that sort of stuff. Looking at the current automation applications that we pay for and looking at how can we convert those to open source and, things of that nature. And he's going to succeed, or, his team is going to last, whereas I'm afraid that the team I'm on is not going to last. And so I've been getting really frustrated. So yesterday, my boss, pulled myself and this other guy in his office, and we had this meeting, and I don't want to go into detail, but basically the meeting really pissed me off and got me really realizing how frustrated I've been with the situation, subconsciously. Like, Sunday nights, I don't want to go to bed because I don't want to get up on Monday morning to go to work. And it's just, it's just horrible. And so one of my previous managers is kind of a mentor of mine, and so I talk to him all the time. So I just went over to his desk, and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't feel like the org structure is right. I feel like our team has the cards stacked against us already. I feel like the stuff that I'm working on, one of these other two teams is just going to do it. They have more resources. They have more skilled associates. They have the budget, etc. I just feel like, we're set up to fail, and I'm coming in every day and I'm trying to do, make a difference, but I don't feel like it's working, and I'm just frustrated, and I'm like, I feel like this new manager that came in on the software delivery enablement team is tasked with doing some of the things that I have the perfect skill set to do. And I've always thought that my team, ever since the quality organization was disbanded, I've always felt like that we should have gone to that software delivery enablement team anyway. So I feel like I'm kind of jumping ship, but basically after discussing with not my current manager, but my mentor, my previous manager, I decided to reach out to this new manager and just tell him, hey, here's my skill set. I really feel like, you know, I really align with the mission of the software delivery enablement team, and I think that I could be of value to you. So this morning, first thing when I got into work, I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna do it. I'm just gonna reach out to him and say, hey, I'm interested in starting the conversation and seeing where it goes. It may not end up working out. I may stay on my current team. I mean, who knows? And you know, I'm in a situation where I can either ride it out and just hang on for dear life with my current team until there's just nothing left. And my managers are horrible on my current team. I mean, just they're just not doing a good job. And they're not giving us any direction. They're not making building the relationships they need to build. They're just not doing what managers or directors should be doing. And I hear some noise. I don't know what that. Anyway, so you know, I could do that. I could just hang on for dear life. But eventually, when it comes to pass that my team is dissolved, which I think is going to happen, then at that point, anyone who ever knew me or knew the work that I was capable of doing or knew my track record, knew my skill set, they'll all be so far gone that, you know, I'll be either without a job or scrambling to find some other position. So I felt like, you know, I needed to be proactive and not just, you know, sit around and wait, you know, just kind of hang on, which, you know, I could probably hang on for another year. I mean, I feel like my team will probably exist for at least another year, but it's just going to go downhill. It's going to keep going downhill, and I'm going to be depressed and not want to go into work. So I sent him an email, and I said, hey, I'd at least like to go over, you know, what my vision is in the area of testing and test automation and all of that kind of stuff. You know, I've always felt that my team should have fallen under the SDE team or the software delivery enablement team. But I'm also interested just in personally in, you know, seeing if you have any openings on your team, because I know that you're brand new and you're building a team right now. And you know, I would like to have a discussion about that as well. Here's my areas of expertise, etc. So I would say he emailed me back within, I don't know, an hour, and he said he was very happy to hear from me. He would love to, you know, sit down and have a discussion about, you know, where we see things going, where I see things going, where he sees things going. And, you know, he said, I do have a position that I'm looking to fill. It's a test architect or a software test architect role that is going to be a specialized in automation. And he's like, if you'd like to talk to me about what that entails and, you know, what skill sets I'm looking for and all that, I'd be happy to discuss that with you. And so, you know, that was all really promising. So I have a meeting on Thursday with him. I'm kind of nervous, though, because architect, I feel, is a couple of ranks above what I'm currently doing. And, you know, and this guy doesn't know me. He's brand new. He came in from Netflix. He's like some hotshot from Netflix that we hired. And, you know, and he doesn't know me from anybody else. And, you know, here I am, you know, I'm going to be promising that I'll be able to fill an architect role. So I'm a little bit nervous about that, but I really just want to have that discussion and see, you know, what my options are and what I just need to have. Mark told me, we were talking about it, and he said, man, I wish I had the confidence that you have just to email folks and be like, hey, I'd like to discuss, you know, any open positions you might have. Here's my expertise. And I told him, I have no confidence at all, but I just have to force myself to pretend I have confidence because, you know, I've got to make something happen here. And so anyway, I hope that wasn't too boring for you guys, but that is what's going on at work. I'll update you guys and let you know if I have any changes in my role or anything like that, or, you know, how the conversation goes with the new director. But I'm going to wrap it up here for now. So for more episodes of the show, you can go over to geekygay.com. You can also email me. I would love to get emails. I'll read it on the show. adamburns.uk@gmail.com. You can call me 229-234-7587. And you can find many more shows with co-hosts, a lot of them, over at pride48.com. And I hope to see you guys at the August event in New Orleans. All right, guys. I will see you guys next time. Bye, everyone. We'll be right back. This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.